This is Leo for KTWH, and on Wednesday morning, it is time every other week for Wandering Nature News with your host, Leo, and our naturalist, Michaela Rice from Gooseberry Falls State Park. Greetings again, Michaela. How are you doing with this yo-yo, seesaw, whatever the analogy you have?
The moodiness. Yeah.
Is it moody or is it just like a light switch going off and on? It's hot.
Cold, hot, cold.
Or Katy wet. Perry. It's hot. It's wet.
Yeah. Now it's really wet. My boots almost got soaked. It's been just crazy winter. I didn't know it was so, I thought it'd be more like same. I like the variety. Definitely. I've been really appreciating the sunrises in the morning. And I did get to see a little bit of ice quick a few weeks ago when it got really cold. And then it jumped up to warm the past 2 weeks. I've been getting spring fever myself, along with a lot of the other critters that are out. And
there's something to be said for some stability, because we do often have 5 or 6 days straight of a weather pattern in winter.
That's true.
Over the boreal forest. And for people who like Nordic skiing, this has not been an easy thing, because first it's too cold and wind chilly. Some of us literally get asthma attacks when it's like that. And then it's ideal for 2 days and then gets way too warm and you can't really get any glide and grip on your stride and you just stop skiing and you say, it'll get better. And now it's raining. So we think, oh, now it's going to get even worse.
Yes, that is a great description. So it is currently slush central outside and more, I guess, cold weather to come with some freezing. We're all kind of waiting to see what this weekend is probably going to look like with the possible freezing and then some snow on top of that.
Right. After giving my speech about needing some good snow tracks for winter recreation, why am I complaining if there's going to be snow? Well, I'm just a little anxious, Michaela, and maybe you can help me sort through that. We two-leggeds might be worried about being able to drive and get across a parking lot after a black ice situation, you know, comes off, and maybe it'll be covered with some snow. Maybe we'll be stepping through snow and finding hidden ice and falling on our backsides. But hopefully, you know, it's not survival issues for us. But is it for some critters? If things go from real warm to really cold really fast and throw in a whole bunch, like half an inch or more of rain into the mix, couldn't it kind of bind up some of the ways they get around? Like those subnivian creatures will find maybe flooded passageways.
Yeah, I think the primary issue would be dens and burrows being flooded, like you had mentioned.
Okay.
The good thing about a lot of animals, including bears, which we typically think of in really deep sleep, right? But other critters like the skunks I smelt the other day, the raccoons you saw, they have been able to be awake the last week.
Yes.
In the 40s. So I'm hoping that they were able to get to a drier spot before this flooding.
So they adapt
comes.
And don't go back to the exact same flooded den.
But yeah.
Go up a story, a floor in their
apartment.
Yeah,
they might have to, and I don't know how critters, maybe part of the topsoil has warmed so they could build a new burrow. Those like little ermine type shaped animals, the voles and stuff, I'm sure they can kind of, you know, move around in that area and find some wet places or some dry places, excuse me. But everyone else, I think, really did get some active time. And then, yeah, hopefully they can adjust.
Yeah, it's always the test of the insulating gifts that you have as people manufacture their insulation that they're putting on their bodies, and the animals have to have it in place. And we all know that wet, damp weather with precipitous cold coming on is a great way to get hypothermia.
Yeah, so cover absolutely is what they're going to be seeking.
Yeah.
To stay, you know, as dry as possible, really huddle together to stay warm and dry, and that's probably going to be their primary. Hopefully they got some extra energy the last week with the warm temps and finding some new food sources. The deer have been moving around like crazy, which leads me to one of my nature sightings. I was going up to the park with a coworker of mine, and we saw a wolf on the side of the road. And based on kind of some comments about the size and kind of looking like a coyote, but definitely meeting all the marks of wolf characteristics. I'm kind of thinking it was a young, maybe bachelor, old enough to get kicked out of his pack, his natal pack, but now looking for easy meals. So he was right on the side of 61 by McQuaid. There's tons of deer in there. It's a little bit closer to town, but, you know, I'm thinking
that's pretty remarkably close to Duluth, though,
to a pretty major
population. So, yes, that is not out of character and have seen, you know, like solo wolves. And we started to see more of that, I believe, when we started to have a season on wolves, that there were more lone wolves in our neighborhood.
Sure.
Some of them had to be trapped out because they interacted with family pets in a not good way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disruption to the nuclear families, the pack.
Absolutely. Through
hierarchy.
Hunting. So then maybe they got split up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the coyotes have been having a range expansion really the past 60 to 80 years. Part of that is due to the local, what we would consider extirpation, just kind of wiping out a population, which, you know, we did with wolves really throughout a lot of the United States. So coyotes were able to kind of take some of that habitat for themselves. And now we really do see these coyote wolf interactions as well. More normal, obviously. What I was going to say is they have interactions too. They have to defend their territories. However, there is also mating that people have been witnessing gives birth to the coy wolf. So that's always a fun topic to talk about. I know that it's been more known to have coy wolves on the eastern part of the U.S., but now that we see coyotes and wolves really butting up territory, even in the Midwest, we would presume that that's
happening. And despite the fact that I've had coyotes in my woodland home area for a couple of decades, I really haven't been hearing much about the hybrid.
No, and I think it's kind of unknown, right? You really have to genetically test to confirm that it is a coy wolf, so my next kind of search will be to see if they have any idea of how many coy wolves are actually out there, how common it is for them to be mating, kind of like the polar bear, or, well, also the grizzly bear and the brown bear. Similar species can, they can hybridize sometimes.
Could we just compare notes for those of us who might easily mistake a coyote for a wolf when we're kind of excited by the sighting?
Absolutely.
What would you first go to?
The first things I go to, and I'm still learning this as well, is the nose and the ears. Coyotes have very large ears. They evolved in the desert, so they got extra big ears, really long pointed snouts. Their tails are a little bit angled out of their body, and they're really kind of sleeker, narrow. They maximum get to like 50 pounds. They have pretty small paws. And wolves, on the other hand, can get up to 110 pounds, so they can be twice as large. They have a much broader snout, a much broader bridge of their snout, smaller, rounder ears, a much rounder, tufted face, very large, hairy paws. Bushy tail as well. I was kind of looking at some timber wolf. They're also known as the gray wolf, but there are a lot of subspecies of wolves.
Yes. I was going to ask you if the visitor center at Gooseberry still hosted that magnificent wolf in the entry there, in the main space.
Yep, it's my job to make sure he looks pretty every day.
And and for anyone who's got any doubts of what they might see when they encounter a wolf along the side of a road, this is a pretty good way to get real up close and see the features you're talking about. And that's a pretty large specimen, I think, of a wolf that might be around 100 pounds.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was hit by a car.
But it's hard to put that in a context. You're looking across a field. I don't know whether that's a 60-pound animal or a 100-pound animal necessarily.
So you kind of got to compare the... Yeah, it's really more shape, you know.
Anything different in the posture, more of a sway back
or
the angle of the legs?
I think there is a bigger posture. The wolves, from the videos and stuff that I've seen, they kind of just hold their head up a little bit different. Their shoulders are much broader. The neck on this wolf that I took a video of is much bigger. So, yeah, the coyotes have a little bit of that slinkier behavior. Wolves and coyotes can both be seen alone. Coyotes are more often seen alone.
Okay.
But like you just said, wolves do commonly, you know, there is this lone wolf thing. They do have to go through those phases of becoming an alpha. So it's likely that you will see wolves alone as well. So that can't be a determining factor. Coyotes can also be in packs. So it's all situational.
Well, we have this ungodly sound that we've heard on some of our spring and summer nights that we ascribe to it has to be coyotes. Yes. We thought wolves would not be making
this
kind of sound.
No, they do not make that sound.
It's a terrifying, insane sound.
Yeah, and coyotes.
Have you experienced that?
I have.
Madness.
It's a yipping, and I've been reading a lot about coyotes, and that's one thing. They are named after the barking dog,
yes.
The singing dog, the crying dog. So wolves do not make that horrendous noise. They actually vocalize less than coyotes as well, so...
Yeah, and a daytime sighting with a lone critter of either species, you're just not going to get them doing any vocalese for you. So, yeah. But in the middle of the night, you can narrow it down. If the hair is standing on the back of your neck because it sounds like some weird ritual is being done, it's probably a group of coyotes. Oh, well, how do we segue from that? How do we segue from... Really, speaking of cryptobiology... The fairies came to Two Harbors last Friday to the library.
Yeah.
Did they find their mycelium buddies? Did they get houses built? How did... Oh, I'm putting you on the spot to now explain what the heck the host is talking about.
Oh, yes. So we had Create Your Own Fairy House last week at the public library in Two Harbors, and it was a hit. We had way more people than we kind of expected, which was so great, and I got to meet folks from the community, and... Yes, our houses turned out great. They were really creative. We had actually a lot more kiddos wanting to create nests to put on top of their fairy houses as well. Maybe mushrooms are not as cute as little bird nests, but yeah, they did a great job. And I'm definitely going to be, I already started foraging for some more stuff to have some more craft programs. So we will be putting those out there very shortly. By next time I come and visit, we'll have some dates for you.
And if I remember right, you're aiming to catch people where they are in the town at the library. Is this where you're looking to continue the series of events?
Craft programs, definitely. And then some monthly maybe reading / kind of demonstration, you know, or thinking maybe some bird watching. It might have to calm down a little bit in the summer because I will be going crazy at the park with my programming, but in the off seasons,
really?
I think absolutely.
You mean like Minnesota's most visited state park is busy?
Yeah,
I'm
not going to be doing anything. Yep, we're preparing for the chaos. So,
I guess as a staff member, at least you probably have secure parking because to the rest of us,
don't get that's a sensitive
don't get
topic.
You started?
Leo, yeah.
Oh, okay. I never mind. I think you can just say no comment. I'm a state employee and I value my job. Anyway, Michaela, this is a big, big week and upcoming. I guess it's President's Day weekend, but it's more important to you and your colleagues at Teta Gooch that you're both having jumbo festival days
party.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like it's well sequenced because I'm looking at the community event that says that Teta Gooch, their Winterfest, begins at 11 a.m. and is scheduled to run through 3 p.m. And Gooseberry's big candlelight event runs from 6 to 8 p.m. That leaves 3 hours for folks to get something to eat.
And take a nap.
And take a nap and get geared up for part two.
Yes.
But anyway, Teta Gooch sounds like they've got a presentation by Steve Robertson on wildcats in a children's story time. And
winter, like outdoor activities. They have a nacho truck coming.
Yeah, well, there's an outdoor activity. I wonder if they're going to be inside or outside. That's a food truck nacho business. But yeah, you can snowshoe over to the food truck.
Stuff your face and then come to Gooseberry for some cookies and candles.
And so your event is from 6 to 8 p.m., but I'm sure there's a lot of setup to make sure that you're ready to roll. I mean, it's already dark and the light is hanging in longer, but it will be fully dark by 6.
Assuming. We have volunteers coming at 3:30 to start
Great.
Putting out luminaries and getting things set up. So it'll be a busy day.
Now, when you say luminaries, do you have any ice luminaries?
Yes.
Because
and I am just,
you need cold weather to make those.
Well, we need cold weather to keep them frozen because,
yes. You've already made a bunch?
Like over 100, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this kind of weather is, you don't have a walk-in freezer
no,
at Gooseberry?
No, that's the woods. So they're in the shade all piled up hoping to, you know.
I'm knocking on wood
yeah.
for the, because some people went to a lot of trouble to.
Yes,
to,
they sure to, did. They've been working on it
diligently
for
put those together. Because I know how that works. You fill this bucket, you got to pull it out of the bucket at the right timing. Otherwise, it's completely frozen or it's not frozen enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the crater and you put in your Are you using candles? Is this going to
be beautiful? Then they'll be all lit with candles. Yep. So we have people their job is to go out and light them.
Wow. Sounds like fun. And you have treats under the stars as well. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm cookies. Not looking at a long-term forecast. I would hope that there might be some lights in the sky too.
That
some
would be
from
great.
Starlight that it isn't.
We might
gloomy.
Be asking for too much.
I know. We're asking for the world, but the human company will be delightful. The spirit of the evening will be magical. Mm-hmm. Usually is by candlelight. So people can, it's trimodal, people can ski, snowshoe, or hike, is that true?
Yep, we'll have a walking path, and then a snowshoe path, and then a ski path. They're all lit.
Fantastic. They're
kind of separate trails because you can't do, all three on the same trail. So, and if you're feeling really adventurous, maybe you can snowshoe a loop and then walk a loop or something.
Wow.
Meet a friend, bring your dog. Yeah, have fun.
So dogs on leashes are welcome.
Yep, leash dogs are welcome.
Wonderful.
Yes. And I have to meet them if they come. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so if you're bringing your four-legged friend, you immediately report to naturalist Michaela Rice and get a name tag for your dog.
Yeah, love going outside on my little breaks and meeting dogs, asking them if I can meet their dog. I meet some really nice friends that way.
But you're working, so you won't have your dog with you.
Correct. Okay. My little guy won't be there.
Okay, well, we'll give you secondhand dog exposure.
Yeah.
So, Michaela, anything else that observations or things that are coming up after the big weekend? I guess you got to get through this weekend first.
Yeah, that's really where our focus is at. So we have some stuff next month. You guys have a fun program.
We do.
Going on. And by that time, I'll have some more things on the calendar.
We'll have some things lined up to talk about. Great. In the meantime, when you're wandering through nature, just know that in 2 weeks from today, we'll be back with Michaela Rice to get another set of observations and speculation. That's what we do here.
Yeah. So keep your eyes open. See if, I don't know. We're still looking for questions. Some of my coworkers are starting to suggest maybe some topics to talk about. So feel free to maybe email the radio station.
You can email thcomm radio at gmail.com and pose a question to the naturalist and the guy. Your guide to wandering nature news is Leo, and Michaela is the person I ask who I'm hoping has the answers. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks to do that, Michaela. Thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Goodbye, everyone.
Take care. Michaela Rice joins me every other week for Wandering Nature News here on KTWH.